These are the recollections of Turner Ashby. Memories of the years when the oceans rose and the several states were separated asunder. Chapter 20. I spent some time, I don't know if it was a good time or not, I spent time one time with a Texan who liked to shoot skeet. Loved it. Only problem was nobody made clay pigeons no more. None at all, not a factory in the whole world. The sport had fallen out of favor for other sports, blood sports, I imagine. So this sportsman, he had to improvise. He wanted to shoot at something about the same size as a clay pigeon. So experiment. He tried china plates, stale donuts, even cow pies. Nothing made quite the right sound when they got hit. And his wife, she found out about the china plates, and she was not pleased, not at all. His supply of targets that would fit into the trap machine that tossed those clay pigeons up in the air rapidly dwindled. Then he thought of something that there was plenty of, something worthless. He made do with cell phones. They spun through the air just as well as anything else. Cell phone pigeon made a nice and very distinct plastic metallic clink when it got blown out of the low horizon with buckshot. There was plenty of them. Always had been plenty of them since early in the century, when we all got our bio-digital chips in our heads. And then the cloudburst virus came along and took over. You never knew who you were going to get a hold of if you did punch in numbers on your old aunt's cell phone. That despicable virus relentlessly shuffled the satellite codes and phone numbers until most of the population just gave up. It was a game for a while when I was a boy. Dial up a number and see who you got. I always hope I get a pretty girl to talk to. But most of the time, all I got was irate, bald, white man. As if there weren't enough irate, bald, white men in the world, and I always hung up. Who wouldn't? It's too much like life, talking to a bald, white man. Too much like work. So this Texan, mildly prosperous and mildly influential Texan named Harry Slaughter, who happened to be a shining example of a bald, white man, and me, we were shooting cell phone skeet. I was a house guest of sorts on his ranch just outside of Austin. He was winning, he was way ahead. He wasn't a bad shot, but he wasn't up against any Olympian. I couldn't hit the side of a bomb with a double barrel over and under 30-06 to save my life. Probably saved my life not to be a good shot, or that's another story. He had an indentured kid with a full peck basket of iPhones loading them up in the traps. He said, pull, and blam, blam, there they went. Harry Slaughter shot him right out of the sky. Then it was my turn. I said, pull. Cell phone went flying, the oddest thing happened. It rang. It rang its ringtone, which was Don't Worry, Be Happy, hell silly ringtone in the middle of Texas. Your pigeon's ringing, Harry Slaughter said, and he was laughing. He thought it was the funniest thing in the world. Aren't you going to answer it? Harry asked. I shrugged, walked the 30 yards into the field, and found the phone. It was easy to find. It was still ringing. I picked it up. I fumbled it. I pushed every button I could. I didn't know what they were for, but I pushed them until the phone stopped singing, and I said, hello. This a bad time? A voice asked. Pretty voice. Not the best, I answered. We're shooting. Who is this?
Is Mr. Slaughter there?
The voice asked. Well, you're in luck. He is, I answered.
Put him home, please.
I walked up the slight hill to the portico of the mansion where we'd been shooting from and began to give the phone Mr. Slaughter, who started laughing. He could not stop laughing. A woman came around from behind a pillar. She winked and waved her phone at me. She was laughing. Her name was Georgia. She was Slaughter's secretary girl Friday, wasn't I?
It worked, it worked. I swear it worked,
Slaughter said, still giggling. And before I had time to ask what worked, he told me.
I got that phone to get a signal and keep that same signal and then send a number and send the same number 3 times in a row. That's 3 times. Short distance now, you understand? But it worked outside the cloud. It wasn't affected by the cloud burst. We're going to beat that damn virus. I said, good for him. He pulled me aside and got serious. He leaned in. His breath was a little strong. It was Texas breath. Lately, I've been trading for indentures, he said. Well, that was hardly seem like news. Rich Texans were unfortunately always trading in tax indentures. That was their stock and trade. But these are different. I'm trading up for intellectual indentures, smart ones. I'll bring them to whole families if I have to. I don't want to. I don't know where I put them all. But I'm going to have a team of them, programmers, gamers, chip designers, old-style hackers. I'll give them a lab. I'll give them white coats if they want them. I'll give them a swimming pool. I'm going to crack that cloudburst wide open until it blows up in 1,000,000 pieces. You watch. That's the reason I'm going to need this new alliance. Oh, yeah. The alliance. That's the reason I was there. I was representing an alliance that was the AFIE, the Alliance of Fiscally Independent Entities. Oh, now what an odd and treacherous path we had followed. We weren't headed for the United of the United States no more. No, since corporations answer to no governments, we had to create an overall body that would include corporations, kingdoms, oligarchs, cooperatives, and unincorporated regional collectives. And I say we. Well, I was suddenly part of something.
I've always been admiring your father,
Harris Lotta said, handing his shotgun to Georgia and accepting a mixed drink. So very Texan.
Never agree with your father. Never. But he kept a balance. He always kept a balance, and he's keeping one now.
I nodded in agreement. My father, Judge Warwick Ashby, had just been recently appointed COO. Chief Operating Officer, similar to Vice President of the Alliance of the Physically Independent Entities. I did adore the word entities. What a lovely, silly word. The word was so vague, it could mean anything. Company, a country, county, a clan. And in a time of political and economic and a climatic collapse, vagueness was sometimes the only thing you could hang on to. Mama, flag, apple pie. Those American icons, they had all gone. By the way, Mama, now Mama was most likely indentured working in a saline recovery plant somewhere on the Gulf. Flag. Couldn't rally around the flag. There were just too many of them. Every burg, every principality had its own flag. All proud, all too proud of them. And pie. Lord, I would have traded the whole damn continent. Whole damn century for a good piece of pie.
Could I interest you in a piece of Texas fish pie there, Mr. Ashby?
Slaughter smiled.
Manufactured right here in my core reserves.
Oh, dear, you know, you see what I mean. Manufactured pie was an abomination.
We are headed back towards technology, son. That's what's going to save us. That's what we got away from.
And made some of you billionaires, I thought to myself. Then Slaughter. You're serious again. You're different kind of serious. He looked straight through me, like he was looking for a lighthouse keeper behind my eyes.
What are you doing here, son? What are you really doing here?
Well, I'm here to sell you on the idea of joining a new movement, a new united movement, I said. Because I'd been taught to say that. I'd been trained. I'd graduated from a big training program. I was a salesman. For the new alliance. My fortunes had changed slightly, well, drastically, actually. Since Lays Fitzgerald rescued me from that broken cave in eastern Kentucky, I was no longer indentured. Now, that was a relief. I no longer belonged to Earl Lexington, though I often wondered about Ed and Claire. I even wondered about old Sterling Bowen. Had they been traipsed back up to that castle and across the moat? I wondered, but I didn't wonder enough to ever want to go back. Lays and I, we'd made it across the Virginia border under the cover of a soaking rain and darkness with a lame horse. Oh, that poor animal. It tried so hard. Yeah, I'd pull that wagon as far as it could. And in the gray first morning of the Virginia mountains, we found an upland farmer who was willing to trade us food and a couple days lodging for the lame horse and wagon. He and his clan hadn't been affected all that much by the breakup of the many states or the rising tides. He was far back enough in the holler. Didn't matter him. His kids didn't even have chips in their heads. I had the rest. My leg, I still limp a little. Years later, journalists would ask me about that limp, and sometimes I would say I got it from fight and fall, Fairliza. And sometimes I would say I got the limp from fighting again. Either way, a journalist would nod like they understood. It was a complicated wall.
I can talk to all the Fairlizas. Our chips communicate,
Blaze explained, as we tentatively and leisurely followed the bomb crater and potholed. You needed a ladder to climb out of some of those potholes. Along the Blue Ridge trails, it veered and wandered northeast and southwest on our way back toward Richmond. She explained with her hands waving excitedly,
It's amazing, Turner. They answer back in my head. I feel them emotionally, not just information, but raw emotion. I don't know how many Fairlizes there are. I don't need to know. They don't need to know. They're just connected to me. They get data, and when an indenture's on the run, they send their coordinates if they can help. They've got chips within their chips. I do, too.
Along the way, we received enough handouts from the locals and offers of a shed or a lean-to at night to keep us comfortable. It was very biblical. They knew who Lays was. I know they did. They didn't ask questions. Not the Virginia way. Lays brought me up to speed on the changes in Richmond after the war with North Carolina 2.5 years before. When we'd been separated on the mountain ridge full of military bunkers in the Shenandoah. When the helicopters came and she was swept east toward the sea, toward home. And I slid west, following the thousands of get-gones into Kentucky. The movement of the alliance of entities had gotten underway during a false truce during that time. It was begun by, among others, my father, and Lays' mother, Sarah Fitzgerald. Lays didn't hardly mention them. She seemed nostalgic for our childhood. We limped along round the potholes that were filling up with the fallen and floating leaves of another autumn. Must have been 2036 or 37. She hung on to my arm like we were 16 still. Like we were walking in the park, talking about how we were going to change everything, change the culture, rather than walking in the western splinters of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
It'll be all right, Turner. You'll see. You remember most of Richmond. It hadn't changed that much. It's just now and again, you can't find your way sometimes. Some of the streets we used to ride our bikes on when we was little. They're underwater, even during low tide.
She rubbed her temples and pressed her eyes closed.
You know my chip's not working? You want to know what?
What? I asked.
I don't mind at all.
Lays wasn't telling me something. Now, her mother was a digibiologist by trade. She'd helped pioneer the science of replicating the natural world in digital terms. She was brilliant, truly brilliant. It never occurred to me as a child or even as a 90-year-old boy who wanted to kiss her daughter so bad I could taste it. That there, most likely, had been a time when Sarah Fitzgerald had experimented on her own daughter. My father was mildly surprised and pleased to see us. He said we all had work to do. They gave me a new chip. Those chips were going to help us sell the idea of a new alliance to the new classes of entrepreneurs. But that's not why I was in Texas.
I'm engaged,
Lee said.
Engaged to do what?
I asked.
Engaged to be married, you idiot. What do you think?
That's the reason I went to Texas. Didn't have nothing to do with a new chip in my head.
More next month. Turner Ashby.